Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, welcome. God bless you. Thank you for sharing the podcast. It's growing thanks to Jesus and you. So we appreciate your prayers as well. We're going to talk about 30 days of a Pride Month pushback with our good friend Scott Lively in just a minute. But I want to mention another dear friend of ours and guest, Scott Shera, is starting this trial coming up in this month. It's going on now, and I believe you can live stream, but it is about the wrongful death of Grace Shera, his 19-year-old daughter with Down syndrome. And this is the first wrongful death jury trial in the country for a death listed as COVID-19 on the death certificate. You know the story. We've had Scott Shera on many, many, many times. And I believe they're going to live stream through Children's Health Defense and The New American. So you can go to ouramazinggrace.net, ouramazinggrace.net, and check on that if you'd like to, because it's trials going on now. And pray for, there it is. Pray for a godly, a positive outcome, that the Sheras would be blessed, but that they would prevent further evil. That's his whole purpose in doing this. So there's a brand new book out, and it's not very long, but I think we need to talk about this because, as you know, it is Natural Family Month. Happy Natural Family Month. We're trying to get that out there to be a habit every year. But we know there's a lot of indoctrination and warped ideologies being pushed, a lot of perverted things being pushed on children this month across the country and around the world. That's why we bring in our good friend, Dr. Scott Lively, and you can go to scottlively.net. Brother, thank you so much for your time.
Great to be back with you, David. My first interview since the last one we did. I've come out of retirement just for this project.
Let's talk about that. The reason is you decided to put something out to be a resource for Christians and people, conservatives, Republicans, whoever wants to go against the demonic sociopaths that are pushing these idiotic ideologies on children. But you have a new book out in ebook form that people can get right now at scottlively.store. It's called 30 Days of Pride Month Pushback. There's the cover. Scott, tell us about it, and then we'll dive into just some of the information and why you decided to do this.
Well, back in 2023, I took this on as a project. I mean, I've been fighting this battle since the late 1980s. I came up in during the Reagan Revolution. The original pro-family movement occurred under Ronald Reagan. I became one of the primary state-level pro-family leaders in the United States. I was the communications director for the Oregon Citizens Alliance that put forth the No Special Rights Act in Oregon, and our sister organization in Colorado did, and it became Amendment 2 that passed, banned minority status based on sexual orientation. But then Justice Anthony Kennedy, the worst enemy of the family in the history of the Supreme Court, in Romer versus Evans, struck down the will of the people in a ballot initiative vote. A significant majority of the citizens voted for the No Special Rights Act. He struck it down on the grounds that it was motivated by animus, hatred, right? Just one man invalidated, well, he was the majority opinion, the swing voter on the case. So his was the vote that counted. And so that's where I got my start. I had my eyes opened to just how insidious, dangerous, and pervasive this organization, this movement was and is, and tried from that time. I knew that things were going to come to this if we didn't stop it. And there were really only a handful of us in the U.S. who were single issue anti-LGBT agenda activists, and we fought tooth and nail, and all the way through till the Obergefell decision in 2015 created so-called gay marriage by judicial fiat. And then everything shifted over to transgenderism, which really is the end game. But as I got closer to retiring, you know, after 30 years of fighting in the front lines all over the world, I wanted to retire. But before I did that, I wanted to take the essentials of what I learned through all of this struggle and persecution, intense persecution, and to put that into a series of articles, which I published on WorldNet Daily, 30 days of Pride Month pushback. Every day I published a new article that was packed with facts and figures and perspectives and anecdotes and strategies for how to deal with this problem. And so I intended to have it written and published by my retirement at the end of 2014, but I wasn't able to get that done. And since it was delayed, I thought, okay, this is the big year, 2025, when the MAGA movement, DEI division, anti-DEI division, is going to go head-to-head with the LGBTs.
Yep.
And so now's the time, really. It's the Lord's timing is always perfect. Now's the time for us to come out to equip people for this month ahead, so-called Pride Month, where there's really going to be a major showdown. And I think this book that I'm offering, there's nothing else like it. No one else knows a lot of the stuff that I have published in here. And this is it. And I'm offering it for just $3. It's just basically enough to cover my costs for putting it together at scottlively.org. And so I'm trying to get the word out that it's available and have people pick up. It's only the ebook right now. We're going to get some print books, but it's better at ebook because you can get it faster and distribute it. So,
yep.
Anyway,
so it is at scottlively.store. And you've got such a compelling story, Scott, and I don't want to be redundant, so I'm going to refer people to our website, worldviewmatters.tv. Type in Scott Lively in the search in the upper right hand, and you can see we've done several podcasts with you. And there's one of them that we did in May of last year, Confessions of a Hate Criminal. That was the one where we got into your whole story. You talked about your testimony, talked about the lawfare, talked about all kinds of things that you've gone through. And it is amazing that you're still fighting this battle, and we appreciate it. I'm serious. There are not enough people fighting this. You call out the LGBT juggernaut, and you call it big gay. You're not afraid to tell it like it is. And you address everything from eugenics and feminism to transgenders and transhumanism to what the gay pride flag really symbolizes. Let's talk about that for a moment, Scott. They hijacked, so to speak, the rainbow, God's bow, God's covenant, God's covenant with man. Talk to us a little bit about how they came up with the colors. I don't want to give it all away, but share whatever you'd like on that.
Yeah, well, let's say every chapter is one of the published articles, Nick, and goes on different topics. But one of them deals with the rainbow. Matter of fact, the very first article, and this is going to sound crazy, but it's true. I was living in Springfield, Massachusetts, running an inner city mission, and on June 1st of 2011 or 2012, forget the year. I was walking. I'm an early riser and I like to take a walk. And I was walking downtown. For the very first time, I saw a gay pride flag up on one of the where they put the Christmas banners and all that stuff right in downtown, right in front of the old First Church, the oldest church in Springfield. And really the center of the city, the old town common. And I was heartbroken. I hadn't heard any news that they were going to do this. It was up there. And it really was an indication that we were losing the battle for Springfield. And our whole project was to re-Christianize a post-Christian city. My wife and I went there in 2008 with that goal in mind. It's like Springfield was like a mini Detroit or Baltimore. I mean, literally. and we were in a head-to-head battle to try to get the city to turn back to Christ. And we even had a petition circulating to put "In God We Trust" on the pediment of City Hall at the same time as organized crime was lobbying to put a casino into Springfield. And so we were in the heat of this battle, and then I see this banner, and my heart was just sunk. And I prayed about it. I went home. I tell you what, this is absolutely amazing. That afternoon, the tornado hit, started in West Springfield, right where we had first got to when we came to Massachusetts, and it tore all the way across the city, across the river, it tore the gay pride flag down and knocked a bunch of trees down. It came right to the edge of the area we called our redemption zone. We literally had claimed a chunk of the city because it was too big a city to handle all at once. The tornado came right to the edge of that redemption zone, head on, right, like perpendicular, like T-boning us, and then turned south, followed the border to the corner, to the south west corner, and then headed east again and destroyed another 20 or 30 miles of territory, destroyed South Springfield. And that, you know, I'm not saying that God's answer to my prayer was a tornado. He didn't have to do all that much just to rip down a gay pride flag.
Right.
But that's what essentially happened in the context of this tornado. And so the first article in the book is the day God tore down a gay pride flag.
Oh, that's
and I tell
awesome.
The story of that, the backstory, the context. And but it's absolutely true. Right hand to God.
So, Scott, isn't there a couple different colors in the gay pride flag as opposed to the actual rainbow?
Yeah, the technical difference when people point out to when you talk about the gay pride flag is it only has six colors, and the God's rainbow has seven, and so they're saying it's not really the same flag, but it is the same flag because they stole it from God. And frankly, right, if you look back at the story of, you know, why did God give us the rainbow in the first place? What did it follow? What event did it follow? It followed the great flood, wiping away all the sins of the world, right? And he put the banner in the sky saying, I'm not going to do this again. But then you see, you know, later you see in Peter and in Jude references to what's coming next. You know, it's not going to be flood, it's going to be fire, right? And the very next major incident of the scripture is when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, as Jude says, as an example of what's going to come. What was the sin that triggered God's wrath and caused that to happen? The only incident of its kind in scripture. It was rank homosexuality when all the men of Sodom, young and old, came to try to rape the two men / angels who God had sent to be a witness. And so there's three places in scripture where the rainbow is specifically addressed. And they all relate, they're all directly associated with God's power, presence, and authority. And so for people who define themselves by the very behavioral disorder that got Sodom and Gomorrah incinerated, who have lived under this cloud of approbation and condemnation rightfully from the dawn of civilization, in the United States of America, when they finally came to the point of having the power to completely change and control a nation, which they almost did in Germany, but they didn't quite make it.
Yeah.
That what do? They then hijack the rainbow to cloak themselves in God's own symbol of presence and authority to sanitize what he condemns as tueva, the harshest term of condemnation in the Bible.
Yeah,
and this is not a small matter.
No,
that fact that from coast to coast and border to border, our nation is filled with formerly Christian churches that are flying the LGBT banner of conquest, right? That's what an enemy does when they conquer a foreign nation. The yes. very first thing they do is they raise their flag to show that they now are in control, that they have dominance. That's what every place that this flag flies, it's a symbol of conquest and yeah. and triumphalism yeah. over Judeo-Christian civilization.
Yeah. Amen, brother. Thank you for pointing that out. I love that it is a symbol of conquest. But when you said Christian churches, you've got to put church in air quotes because some of them were not biblically based. And that's for another podcast. But we've got to take a brief pause. We're with Scott Lively. You can check out 30 Days of Pride Month pushback at scottlively.store. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Hey friends, right now Freedom Project Academy is enrolling students for this fall with live, anytime, and homeschool courses for pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade for this Judeo-Christian online academy. To celebrate 15 years of academic excellence, we're offering a 15% discount on all courses. Visit freedomforschool.com. That's freedom, F-O-R, school.com. Use the code David15 to save 15%. That's David15 to save 15% on courses at Freedom Project Academy. Scott Lively is our guest today. Let's talk about Disney briefly, or Target. Corporations that have gone all in for the pride. Oh. I mean, Disney's holding these Pride After Dark events. You would think they would have backed away a little bit, but they've lost hundreds of millions of dollars on their films, on their movies, by injecting LGBTQ characters. But let's just talk about what happened at Target. By the way, I think they put in their first Pride section in their store in 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. So it's been a while. And then 2017 or 2016 was the bathroom debate. But their stock, Target stock, plummeted 61% over the past 5 years. They fully embraced DEI. They're all in LGBTQ. And they're once again, because we're thinking, okay, Target got the message because they're backing off some of its policies. But they're once again donating $175,000, for example, to the New York City Pride event. So we think that some corporations are backing off and some are still all in. But what's your take on what's going on briefly at the corporate level before we get back to your book?
Well, this is being done from the top down. These aren't just woke board members deciding on their own, hey, let's get up to our necks in the sewer. This is being pushed on them from at the very top. The elites above the elites have a global agenda, the sexual revolution agenda, that at its center, at its heart, at its roots, is the LGBT supremacist agenda. And so you're talking like the huge. Huge multinational, the people that fund them, the place where they get their money. That's where this is being pushed from the top down. So when it takes something like a Budweiser Light boycott to get a company to actually change its policies, because you have to make them hurt so bad that it's worse than what they would face by going against their masters. In the financing level of that they need to keep their businesses running. This is evil. This is demonic.
Yes.
This whole thing. This isn't just social change being done by activists on the street. This is from the top of the demonic pyramid spreading down and spreading out as it goes.
So you're saying, Scott Lively, that this in many ways, this demonic ideology trumps money, at least at the corporate level, because they're losing. Some of these corporations, some of these companies have lost a lot of customers, have lost a lot of money due to either a boycott or a buyout. And here we are. There's some of them are doubling down. So you can tell this is a spiritual issue at its core, isn't it?
That's right. Well, it's the combination of the top-down arm twisting and Marxist ideology that's also satanic. That so many people that are college-educated professionals that run these corporations, they have been steeped in this stuff. You know, there isn't a person born in this millennium nobody since really, since the 70s, has lived in a world where this agenda did not dominate.
Wow.
And where that was shoved on everybody's throats. I mean, I was born in 1957, and I grew up in the 60s, and it was starting to happen in the late 1960s, but we still had this inertia, this natural family, you know, the primacy of the natural family was sort of the inertia. And it took them a long time to be able to overcome that, which they did by the turn of the millennium. They had pretty much wiped out the Judeo-Christian perspective. And it was just the older people who had grown up with it that still had it. Today, there's none of these kids don't have any clue of what it's like to live in a world where you're not having homosexuality and transgenderism shoved down your throat every single day in every aspect of your life.
Yeah.
Right? You know, these things take a toll on your psychology.
Yeah.
And a lot of people just surrender to it. And even now, even in the conservative movement, right? The big problem with conservatism is that it conserves the status quo. And then so once the status quo has adopted something like gay marriage, so-called gay marriage, then all of a sudden that continues to be preserved even while they're fighting against transgenderism.
Yeah.
They don't understand the concept of first principles, the concept of presuppositional logic, that if you embrace and adopt the presuppositions of your enemy, then it doesn't matter how successful you are at stopping some of their later initiatives temporarily, you're always going to lose to them because you've given the ground. They own the ground that you're standing on.
Yep.
And that, you know, that ground is the idea of the full legitimacy of the sexual revolution, except on the point that current conservatives are fighting.
Yeah.
That's how. So step by step, one step backward after another, till you're standing with your heels at the ocean, the waves lapping at your shoes, and there's nothing left to fight for except, you know, dear life. You know, you're going to drown in the swamp.
This is pretty sobering, Scott, but it's important to talk about. So if people really need to get 30 days of Pride Month pushback and read all those good articles in there. I want to go back to something you said. I'm thinking about kids being brought up today. They do not have that understanding of God-ordained natural marriage, the hierarchy, the godly order, the creation order of God, male, female, marriage, family. Then you know, society. It goes back. I just want to ask you about that. We've got 3 minutes left. My goodness. The transgender, you can trace the transgender events or ideology even back to the 40s and 50s in America. It didn't start with
it's ancient, brother.
Yep.
Ancient. You know,
nothing new under the sun, right?
Androgyny was central to occultism going all the way back. Take a look at the Levi version of Baphomet, the picture. It's a male with breasts. This idea of the elimination. The most fundamental thing that God did that we can relate to is the division of everything into their separate kinds. Humans are different from animals. Animals are different from each other. And what the demonic goal is to break down those barriers and blend them all together. That's what transhumanism is. It's the final stage of the dismantling of the created order, step by step, working from the tips of the branch of the tree of civilization toward the most foundational roots, which have to do with our human identity as binary male-female creations of God in his image, right? That's what's being destroyed with transgenderism. And then one step deeper than that is the division of humans and animals into kinds that are separated. Transhumanism breaks all that down. It blends human and animal DNA and brings in robotics and artificial intelligence so that humanity thinks that it's creating a superior version of itself, becoming our own creator of our own creation, and moving God, kicking him right off the throne and taking his place. That's the Luciferian goal from the beginning.
Wow.
And that's where we're at. And it's all been done through the LGBT agenda.
Wow. And when we were younger, we were seeing in America, we were seeing it, you know, the fruit of it even then in the 70s. Yeah. And
nothing new under the sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the first gay pride stuff was the 1950s, right? In Weimar Germany, they were having transvestite balls with hundreds of people, of women dressed like men and hundreds of men dressed like women. It was commonplace. And it was spreading all over the world because Germany had such a powerful influence on culture, and it infected Hollywood. Our Hollywood in the 20s was starting to do those things. The Catholics kind of really got a hold of that and pushed back on that, to their great credit. But anyway, what we need to do is get back to teaching our kids the fundamentals about who we are, the natural family created in the image of God, with a duty to stand for his truth and to protect and preserve and conserve all elements of the natural order that he gave us, that are his creation, and not getting completely consumed by this artificial world that's being made like the Matrix for us to be sucked into.
Yeah. So the best place to get 30 days of Pride Month pushback is at scottlively.store, correct?
Right. Yeah. And also, the final version of my the pink swastika, which is under a different title, Nazi Germany's Dirtiest Secrets and Why They Matter to America Today.
Awesome.
That's there also.
Scott, over 30 years in this culture war, fighting this battle, thank you so much for briefly coming out of retirement and for putting this ebook out there for us. Thanks for your time. God bless you, sir.
God bless, David. Bye now.
All right. Friends, thank you so much for sharing. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.